All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 8 in this Ancient History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We're going to continue our discussion from yesterday. It was, I thought, a useful discussion, especially because I sometimes fail to remember or realize. Sometimes when I'm using certain words, I'm usually pretty good about it, but sometimes I fail to realize that something needs very special attention, and that I should probably go either slower or faster, depending on that, with a particular topic. And yesterday, I was, I think, trying to rush to a certain point and realized that it was not going to be a good approach. So then I had to decide, okay, how do we kind of fix that a little bit. And I felt that we did some decent work, but that there's still quite a bit left to do here. Our main goal is to learn to see the connection between ourselves and the ancient past. Okay? That is our main goal. I think it's worthwhile here, again, not to go too fast. Why do we want to see the connection? Why do we want to learn to see the connection between the ancient past and us? How would you explain what you're doing in History at Our House right now to other people? You would say, Mr. Powell is teaching us things that he calls anchor facts. How would you explain to somebody, why is he doing that? I already gave you part of the answer, but then I want you to elaborate. In other words, part of the answer is he uses anchor facts to connect the present to the past, or the past to the present. Why? Why bother? Why don't we just dive in? There's some Egyptian pharaohs that have funny names, and we would really enjoy it. And they have statues and pyramids. And why don't we just dive in? Why do we need a connection to that? Real question. Okay, Rosetta, go ahead.
To help us understand what the world is today.
That is a pretty good answer. And so, how does a connection between the past and the present do that? We're going to be studying the past. I'd like to hear you say a little bit more about that, because you're on the right track. Okay, did everybody get Rosetta's answer here? Put your hand down for a sec, Rosetta, and just reconsider this here, because you've helped us get closer to the answer. Okay, Rosetta said that because in order to help us understand the world around us. Okay, so how does a connection between the past and the present help us to do that? That's a pretty tough question. We might wait to give the answer until the end of today's class, in the sense that we'll at least have one really strong example. And I think we're still a little bit shaky on the facts that we are using. And so that's why it's hard to answer the question. So thank you for your answer, Rosetta. And I don't fault anybody for having perhaps a little bit of difficulty answering this question. If you have an answer, I'd love to hear it. And if you're on the recordings and you think you have an answer, I would say write that one down and see whether or not when we get to our group answer here, whether or not your answer is as strong as you think it is. Okay? This is very important. This is what we are trying to do. And it's not easy. Okay? I want everybody to understand that I know that it's not easy to see the connection. In fact, if we manage to see the connection, you will be better off than all grown-ups. You will know more about history than all grown-ups because they don't know it. They gave up on it and it's not their fault. In fact, you will know better than historians. All the professional historians out there, they don't know how to do this. So, wow, you'll be really well off if you can do it, because it's hard to do. The reason why we're doing this, I'll explain one part of it, is because it is much more traditional, much more usual for people to study history as just by looking at the past and that's all. Okay? Much more usual for teachers to just say, okay, everybody, get out your notebooks. We're going to study ancient Egypt today. And everybody says, okay, and then they write ancient Egypt at the top of the page. And, you know, pretty soon you're talking about the Nile River and crocodiles and pyramids. And, oh, some of that sounds pretty cool, right? And you're paying attention. And okay, so, but and then when you add it all up at the end, and you try to say to yourself, oh, what did I get out of that? What did I really get? What's the worth of that or the value of all that? And the truth is, most people can't say what it is. It disappears. You forget it and you get on with life. And that, I think, is just terrible because it's a huge waste of time, a huge waste of life. You've got only so much time to be learning stuff that's worth knowing and then go out and have the best life that you can as a grown up. And so if I'm spending time teaching you stuff that doesn't matter at all, then, boy, am I making a mistake. And I don't like the idea of making that, doing that. So my point here is that it's very usual to study the past. Just jump right in. Oh, Egypt, whatever you want to know, and other things. And people learn that stuff without even asking themselves the question, why should they even bother? And at first, when you're young like you guys, it can be fun. Because who doesn't like crocodiles? I mean, that's kind of a joke question, right? But crocodiles are cool animals. Who doesn't like pyramids? Pyramids are amazing. They've got secret mazes inside of them. And who doesn't like mummies? Who doesn't like the thought of the ancient Egyptians taking the brains out of dead people and making mummies? Ooh, right? Everybody's squirming in their seats and oh, isn't that fun? All right. And Jeremy says, ew, yeah, right? Okay, fine. But that's just goofing around. And I don't believe that history is goofing around. Okay? I take history seriously. And the thing is, by the time you get to be in junior high and high school, if history teachers just keep goofing around, you're going to get upset. This is what happens, is at first you enjoy it because you like the idea of finding out how mummies were made. And then you enjoy the idea of how the Romans, would build coliseums and have big naval battles inside of them. And you like these ideas because they're so fascinating. But the older you get, the more you realize it's all useless. It doesn't actually help you to actually live. And you start to get upset. And this is why kids that are older than you guys, they really hate history because the teachers don't ever show them how it's really connected to the world. So we want to do, I like the stories about mummies. I like the stories about pyramids. All that stuff is good. I enjoy it too. All right. But what I want you to understand from the start and all the way through what you learn in history is how it matters, how much it matters and if it does and help you to always see that it is connected to you and be able to see that. So that you don't lose sight of that, because it's so easy to lose sight. It's so easy. So we're going to work our way towards a new kind of chart, which I'm going to show you right now here, which is kind of cool. It's going to be our new chart based on the one that we've been building looks like this. And it's got a lot of things that you recognize in it already. Okay, but I'm going to explain how we get to this particular chart that helps us to understand ancient history better than the one that we've got. But that's going to be at the end of the class. Okay, we're going to work our way there. And let's see here. How can I get right to the top? Not that way. And not that way either. Okay, I'm not doing what I was hoping I would do because I got to jump all the way back to the... Oh, man, see, it's not as good as... wanted it to be. But anyway, this is where we're going to start. And then we're going to work our way towards a new way of looking at that chart. And remember, I called it a Portaland chart. And I keep using that word. And I hope everybody's okay with me using that word. Because just like the words democracy and republic, right? Sometimes I use words and maybe you are not... raising your hand and saying, Mr. Powell, you keep using that word and I don't know what it means. So when I say that we are working our way towards a kind of Portland chart of history, does that, are you just kind of letting me get away with words, or do you know what I mean by that? Do you guys remember what a Portland chart is and why I'm using this comparison or metaphor? Julia, go ahead.
I don't remember.
Thank you. Okay, and if Julia doesn't remember, I bet the rest don't remember either. So thank you. So remember, this is a Portolan chart. Remember this? And what was the point of me showing you guys a Portolan chart? Here's Rome. This is the ancient Mediterranean world that we're going to be learning so much about this year. And here's Rome. What was the point of a Portolan chart with all of these lines going across it? Opal's probably going to try to answer what the point is. Does that mean nobody else remembers what the point is? Keep your hand up if you want to answer, Opal. Rosetta might be willing to answer as well. What was the point of a Portolan chart? Opal, you were first, so go ahead.
I didn't really have an answer. I don't remember. I was just going to say that I couldn't hear you for the past few minutes because there were other tabs on, so that's why I wasn't responding to anything, and I don't really...
Okay, all right, thank you. So, what was the point of a Portolan chart, everybody? Rosetta?
A point of the Portolan chart was you could get any place. Well...
From
a point... on the maps from those points.
Okay.
On the maps.
Yep. You're on the right track, but I want to say one slightly different thing. You could get anywhere else from wherever you are. The point of a Portolan chart was if you were in Rome, right, way over here, I'm going to go ahead and annotate it. Right? You could go from Rome and then you could navigate out into the middle of the ocean and you wouldn't see anything out there. But then if you still wanted to get to Egypt, okay, you knew you would use your maps and your charts and you would say, all right, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sail in this direction for such and such a time. Even if there's clouds, even if there's fog and I can't see land, I know that if I go all the way here and it takes me that long to get there, then I change directions and I go this way on the chart. Then I reach the coast of Africa and that will take me eventually over here to the port of Alexandria in Egypt, which is where I want to go. Okay, so I can go anywhere I want, starting from where I am, using a Portolan chart. Okay, Portolan, by the way, it's hard to know why we use that word, but it's from an Italian word and a Latin word, Portolano, and it just means an atlas giving the locations of ports. So Porto is a port. Okay, so Portolano comes from Italian and from medieval language Portulanus from Latin. Okay, a shipmaster's guidebook to get from one port to another, a Portolano. Okay, so this is a Portolan chart, a way to get from any place to any other place. Now, can you guys guess why I'm calling this, not this one yet, but this one over here, why am I calling this a Portolan chart, or the beginning of a Portolan chart, for history? A Portolan chart is a chart that allows you to get from any place to any other place. What kind of Portolan chart is this, Julia?
So you can get from wherever you are in history or the present and then go back in history to learn about it.
And once you get there, what else can you do which is so important?
Connect it to where you are?
Yeah, get back to where you started, right? Because the truth is, even when you go back to the past and learn about it, where are you still?
in the present.
Yeah, you're still here. You don't have a choice. We don't study history by time travel and teleportation, right? That would be pretty cool. Okay, but we study it using books and teachers, lectures, and so on, right? And we're still here, right? We're always going to be here. So we're going to go back to the past, and we don't want to get lost over there, because that's no good for us. We don't live over here. We live over here. So we want to go back there, and we want to come back to where we are. Opal, go ahead. Okay, sorry, Opal, you can't have a dog in your room barking if you're going to raise your hand. Sort that out, okay? So, and then raise your hand when you're ready. Okay, so I know it's tough to have dogs in the house. We have one too, and he's in another room because can't be having that. All right, so anyway, so we're going to make this into more of a Portaland chart today, okay? But before we do, I want to make sure about a couple things that we did yesterday. Okay, we're going to review, and hopefully this will be a useful review, and it will be in the class notes. Okay, it will be in the class notes. And I want some help from somebody in the class here to read these things, and we are going to start with, because our connection to the ancient past comes especially through these two words. This is our strongest connection, these two words. So if we don't know them, then our connection is broken, right? So who can help me with the reading of this slowly, line by line here? I don't want to be the one reading everything. I want you guys to do some of the reading. Okay. So Patrick, which one are you going to do, Republic or Democracy? You're going to wait for Republic? Patrick's not raising his hand, but I'm going to force him to do it anyway. Okay, so Rosetta's going to start with Democracy for us. And just the first line, please.
Okay. The rule of the people, the demos.
Right, the demos is the people. That's where the word democracy comes from. Demos is people in Greek. Okay? And next line, please.
The decided...
Oop, careful.
To decide the laws, the people vote.
Okay. So this is what everybody thinks of when they think of democracy. And your parents are going to vote for a president next year, right? And that's what everybody says, oh, this is our democracy. They vote for senators and presidents and stuff like that, and they call that democracy. Not quite, all right? This is a strangely inaccurate thought that they're having here. Okay, but anyway, to decide the laws, the people vote in a democracy. Okay, and, well, how does it work? Continue.
The winning side in a vote is called a majority.
Good. Continue.
The losing side is a minority.
Good. Okay, so this is very important, right? Because to decide the laws, you're going to have a vote. But you see, there's people who disagree when they vote. And when you add up all the votes, there's one winning side that has most of the votes. And Patrick, remember yesterday we were talking about democracy. Let's say there's 100 people voting. What would it take to have a majority? What would be the number of people to make a majority out of 100? That's a question for you, Patrick. Just hold on a sec, Rosetta. Out of 100, what does it take to make a majority?
51, 49.
51, right? Half plus 1. Okay? So, that's good. Thank you. Now, Rosetta, so the majority would be 51 out of 100. Okay? And then, how does it work in a majority then, when after people are done voting? Continue, Rosetta.
In a democracy, the majority rules the minority.
Okay, the majority rules the minority. The majority, whatever the majority decides becomes the laws. And usually the way that works is these guys don't like it, but then they gotta live with it. That's why the majority rules the minority. Okay? So, and then, all right, the key historical point here is, finish that, Rosetta?
Athens invented democracy.
Okay. Athens, the city, the Athenians, invented democracy. Okay. So there are parts of how the world works today where we do vote for certain kinds of things. And that is called a democratic system. And it goes back to democracy in Athens. Okay? This is part of our connection right? How are we connected to the ancient past? We're over here. People think about democracy and voting all the time over here. How did they ever come up with that? Well, only because these guys invented it. If they hadn't invented it, I'm going to tell you something. We wouldn't have it today. If they hadn't invented it, we wouldn't have it today. You know why? Wasn't anybody else going to invent it. Nobody else was going to invent it. And not the Romans either, as much as they did a good job. So let's go to that part, which was pretty good. But as it turns out, you know, in some ways that there are problems as well. Republic. Okay, so Patrick, get us started on Republic.
This is also a government involving the people, the public.
Okay, also involves the people. Okay, very important. And notice, it's the idea of the people is in the name of the government as well. Public, right? That's how we talk about the people. Okay, so go ahead, second line. Wait a minute, Wyatt or Henry has a question. Wyatt, Henry, go ahead.
This is Henry, I'd like to read.
Oh, I see. Well, I don't want to share too much reading here. So another time, Henry. I appreciate your volunteering, okay? But I'm putting Patrick on the spot here. So Patrick, go ahead.
No, thanks.
Yes, I would like you to read. Continue. All right. Well, Patrick is now refusing to read, so I'm going to have to have some discussions with him about that. So let's go ahead and give Henry a chance. I hope your microphone is going to be good enough, Henry. Go ahead.
In a republic, however, certain laws cannot be changed. The Constitution.
Okay, very good. See, so in a democracy, the people vote on the laws. Anything that people want to figure out what to do, they vote. In a republic, that's not the case. In a republic, you can't vote on everything because there's some things that are in place and they don't change. Okay? Now, continue, Henry.
A constitution prevents the majority from taking away the rights.
You caught my mistake there. Thank you. Continue.
Majority by vote.
Okay. Sorry, I typed it up wrong and that confused you. So it prevents the majority from taking the rights away of the minority by vote. Okay? So you, over here, if you vote and the majority says, we're going to take the minority and turn them into slaves, well, pretty much that's what happens. And there's nothing you can do about it. And of course, unless there's going to be a war or something like that, which happened in different places like Athens. Okay, but when you have a constitution that says you can't do that, every individual has the right to their own life. So there's some things you can't do, majority. Okay, and so continue. So go ahead.
A republic is a system of government that protects rights.
Okay, that's the key thing, the key difference between a republic and a democracy. You have rights, and they can't be taken away by the majority. Henry, continue.
The first republic was Rome.
And finally?
America created a republic. Become more of a democracy.
Okay, this is history, and this is what you learn more about in advanced kind of history at our house classes, and if you're in the high school. America is a republic, technically, kind of, it has a constitution, and there are certain things that the president or anybody else cannot do, but it's changing, and it's very fascinating to witness when governments change, and it's becoming more like a democracy every day. So that is complicated. But anyway, notice though that there's two ideas here. And again, where did they come from? Over here. Okay? So this is why we're going to study ancient history. Because these things that we rely on in our lives, the fact that there's a police in your town and city that will protect you in your house against robbers is because there are laws, and to steal from somebody else is a crime, and your government is going to protect your rights. Okay, so this is what we have. It's part of being civilized human beings. And we have these wonderful things because we've learned them over time. Back here, as you're going to find out, you didn't want to have anything to do with your government if you could. It was very dangerous. Manes Narmer didn't care about your rights. He wanted to rule you. And so you were not going to have a very good life. But we do, and it comes back to this. So that's the connection that we're going to be seeking. But today, what I'm going to show you guys, we don't have much time. We started a little late, so hopefully we can go another 5 minutes, is more of how this kind of connection works. Okay? Because this line is kind of, well, okay, this is happening in America. This is happening, well, where is this happening, by the way? This is happening in a certain place. This is happening in a different place. So this is a history timeline, but it doesn't help us so much to see where it's happening and exactly how we're connected to it. So we're going to change the timeline a bit. We're going to make it more connected to us by showing how it gets to where we are today. So I'm going to rearrange the timeline, and I'm going to show you how I'm going to do it. Okay? So here we go. If we go now, and we go to the next page. I'm going to try to figure out how to do that. And I'm not enough of an expert. I thought I knew how. There we go. Okay. So this, notice what I just did. Let's go back up one to see the difference. Okay. I'm rearranging the pictures, and I'm making an extra line. Are you ready to see that again? Rearranging the pictures and making an extra line. Okay, see that? Manes came down here. And we have an extra line up here. Why do we have an extra line up here? Who can kind of tell me? Why did I bother doing that? How come it's not on the same line anymore? What do you figure? What's this line for over here? Separate line. Only Rosetta can figure that one out? Go ahead, Rosetta, help us out.
I can't hear you properly.
Uh-oh. Why would that happen? I don't think... Okay, how about now, Rosetta?
Now I can hear you.
Oh my gosh, I think I was covering the microphone. My goodness, by accident. Thank you, Rosetta. Okay, my question is for everybody, how come there's a separate line up here? Now that you hear my question clearly, why did Mr. Powell extract these two facts and put them up on a separate line, do you think? Wyatt, Henry?
This is Wyatt. I actually noticed, hey, Columbus discovered America. That happened in America. America and the Declaration of Independence happened in America.
All right, perfect, right? This line here is for things happening in America. This line over here is for things happening back in, well, on the other part of the world, right? Thank you. Okay, get that, guys? It's the same timeline, but this stuff is happening in America, so I separated it out, okay? We're going to see that it's still connected, but it's going to take us a sec to get the connection here. Okay, now I'm going to add some color to the timeline to show where things are happening. Here we go. Okay, so now you'll notice that on the timeline is the same, but there's four colors. Blue is for America. Gray is for ancient Greece and Rome. What are the other colors? Opal?
Purple is for Egypt. And green is for... It doesn't really tell us what green is.
It doesn't tell us yet because we don't really have some facts for it so much. But the question is, what came after the fall of Rome? Who are these people over here that we're going to have in green? Maybe the next slide will help you to answer that. Okay, so opal is right, blue is America, purple is Egypt, and gray is Greece and Rome. Now we are going to fix this up a little bit better even. Okay, we're going to take the pictures off because I don't want to be too distracted by the pictures. Okay, but now this next one is really going to, and I made shorter texts because we're going to have to fit more on the thing. Okay, now you're going to see another quite a bit of a change. Okay, so, every time I put my finger on the side of the computer, I'm blocking my microphone. I'm so sorry, and you guys have helped me to figure that out. I have a bad habit. Okay, so anyway, we're getting out of time here, but what did I do now? We got only one more slide after this. So what did I do now? Notice what I did here to make it a little bit of a neater diagram. Julia?
You took away the pictures.
Well, I took away the pictures already before, but now I did something else. Here, look at the difference between these two. This one. And this one. What did I do now?
Lines.
Yeah, I made a set of rulers that's separate, so that if I'm going to have separate lines, I don't need to keep writing the numbers. The ruler is going to be on the bottom only. Okay? And you can always follow the lines up here and know where you are in time. Okay? Alright, so now our lines are kind of neater and crisper. And I'm also going to make another separation here. Okay? Here's the final one for today. Okay, final chart. Two things happened. One obvious, one not. Want me to go back? Some of you guys are seeing it. Okay, two things happened. One obvious, one not. Okay. Opal, what happened?
Well, I don't know which one it is, but you shortened some of the words. Like, it just says independence.
Okay, that's not what I was looking for. I already did that in the previous chart. So there's something else. Okay, Julia?
Well, you took the purple, you disconnected it from the gray, and you connected the green to the blue.
Okay, right. This is what we're going to try to understand better next time because we're out of time for today. The purple is separate from us. Okay, we do not have a very strong connection to this part of history, so I have separated it. We'll see that there are connections, and we're going to draw lines. Okay, lines that go up and down on this chart are connections between different parts of the world. So now that we have a connection over here, what is green? Who knows what green is? What came after Rome and discovered America? Wyatt?
Henry? Europe.
Thank you. Europeans, right? Europe. So green is Europe. And our connection to the ancient world comes through what? Europe. It's the only reason we're connected to it. We said that before, but now, because of our timeline is going to get kind of spread out in two dimensions, we're going to see this more clearly. Okay? So, this is how these amazing things that the Athenians and the Romans did over here, how did they get over here? First of all, thanks to this guy. And everybody else that followed him. Okay, and other things in between. Okay, so we're going to follow very much this kind of shape that carries all of this through here, over across the Atlantic Ocean, to us, through there, to here. This is our port-to-land chart, right? We can always go from where we are back to the past, go to the past, and come back to where we are. Okay, so we're going to keep on building this chart until we become expert navigators of ancient history. Okay, last question or comment, because we're way over time. Opal, go ahead.
I never have my hand raised.
Okay.
I
Okay, not on purpose anyway. All right, so we are done for today. All right, thank you, everybody. Tomorrow is History Through Art, as quick as it gets, huh? All right, thanks, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so tell us the name.